The mule.
The mule?
Yeah.
Is that right with you?
How would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a mule? A mule is an animal, long funny ears, kicks up at anything he hears.
His back is brawny and his brain is weak. He's just plain stupid with a stubborn streak.
And by the way, if you hate to go to school, you may grow up to be a mule.
Oh, would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are.
Or would you rather be a pig?
A pig is an animal with dirt on his face. His shoes are a terrible disgrace. He has no manners when he eats his food.
He's fat, lazy, and extremely rude.
But if you don't care a feather or a fig, you may grow up to be a pig.
Oh, would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are?
Or would you rather be a fish?
A fish won't do anything but swim in a brook. He can't write his name or read a book. To fool the people is his only thought.
Yeah, but even though he's slippery, he still gets caught.
But then if that sort of life is what you wish, you may grow up to be a fish.
And all the monkeys are in the zoo. Every day you meet quite a few.
So you see, it's all up to you. You can be better than you are. You could be swinging on the star.
We live in two Americas. One America, now the minority, functions in a print-based literate world. It can cope with complexity and has the intellectual tools to separate illusion from truth. But the other America, which constitutes the majority, exists in a non-reality-based belief system. And this America, dependent upon skillfully manipulated images for information, has severed itself from the literate, the print-based culture. It cannot differentiate between lies and truth. It is informed by simplistic, childish narratives and cliches, and it's thrown into confusion by ambiguity, nuance, self-reflection. And this divide, more than race, class, or gender, more than rural or urban, believer or non-believer, red state or blue state, has split the country into radically distinct, unbridgeable, and antagonistic entities. Good evening, my friends. Welcome to the final Wednesday program of this horrendous year we have had. This massive separation. Jeff Bennett here with another installment of The Edge of Darkness. We have obviously not been around a lot lately. This is Wednesday. We've done some programs, I think. I don't remember. I don't think I was here Monday. Certainly wasn't. Last night we aired part one of a two-part series called X-rays, which dealt with both heart disease and cancer. It was scheduled to run part two tonight, but something got into my craw last night. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, I still wasn't sleeping because, not because of so much health-related issues that many of you are aware of what I'm going through, but because of psychological issues, because of a massive amount of computer-related issues that I'm having. Some problems with several of the websites. Websites have not been getting updated as often as I would like to. that is going to begin to change. I seriously contemplated making a move with my web host, and I am going to do that. I was with GoDaddy for over 20 years, and I got ticked off with them last year and left them. They've got new owners. It's not the same mentality it used to be, and the owners now are all about the money. They're not about the service. And I found out some interesting things about GoDaddy. GoDaddy has no equipment. They provide nothing. Everything they do for placement, for websites, etc., for anything, is all leased by them based upon the massive amount of money they charge us. But it was still a worthwhile conversation that I had. I did resolve one particular issue, actually three issues, and got some good input. And I've got a computer that would belong to my son, which is in the shop right now to the tune of about $450, $475. I'm having that thing completely rebuilt and modernized. Not that I like to, but you can't get service on the old stuff. And that is a computer that I will be using more and more for very specific things. But they are the ones that told me about this other option, and they're going to introduce me to the people tomorrow. So tomorrow we will go with part two of our series, X-rays, a major cause of heart disease and cancer. I've had some interesting comments from medical people today. I had a call less than an hour ago from a doctor who also, and I did not get her name. She apparently is also a guest on RBN on several other programs. She has some positive comments about the program of what was in there. I just received a text from a doctor listener out of the Chicago area, and he hopes I'll just continue to re-air this thing on a continual basis. And I said, Doc, if you want it, the archives are there. Grab it, share it, do what you have to do. My target today came to me for a combination of different reasons. I make no bones about it, my friends. As I mentioned, we've not been updating websites a lot lately. Maybe a week and a half or so ago, trying to see if I can find a date. I don't have it here. December 12th, we published a series of headlines at metropolis.cafe. And the main title was Get Your Children Out of the Public School System. I'll take a few moments and share with you some of the headlines. Yes, Virginia, critical race theory is in your schools and in schools across America. It briefly states that as parental concern mounts over racial indoctrination to local schools during the recent Virginia gubernatorial race, a mantra emerged from the Democratic camp and the media. The critical race theory had never been taught in Virginia schools. That, of course, is from the then Democratic candidate Terry McAuliffe, who, in case anyone missed the point, added that the concerns about CRT were nothing but a racist dog whistle. Next headline, Texas school district uses armed agents to arrest parents in their own homes. Oh, that's right. And this happens right there where? In Round Rock, Texas. The Round Rock Independent School District, right down the street from where RBN Studios are located, is using force against parents who speak out against its policies by using its own armed agents to arrest them. Headline, federal investigators launch civil rights probe into South Lake, Texas schools. Headline, school boards have gone rogue. Who would have ever thought just a few years ago that our local school boards would turn into tyrants trying to crush us underfoot? School boards! But in the words of Mark Twain, in the first place, God created idiots. This was just for practice. Then he created school boards. Headline, Texas school says it will bring back paddling to discipline misbehaving kids. Parents have their own ways of disciplining their kids, and once they're inside the school premises, teachers also have their own technique on how to make sure that students follow the rules, but it does not involve physical punishment. You see, that one doesn't bother me. I was accosted by Eldon Carper, the principal of my junior high school, in that particular matter. You got out of line? Oh, that's right. In the seventh grade, I was in a shop class with Homer Kirchhoff. A shop class. Oh, we had table saws and lathes and drills. And it was a whole shop class. We did woodwork. We created bowls. Our first project was to create paddles. And those paddles would hang on the wall of the principal, Eldon Carper. And if you got out of line and Robert Evans or Mr. Leonard, James Leonard, these are my teachers' real names. Seventh grade. I'm 73, folks, and I remember their names. And if you got out of line in their classes, they send you down to Eldon's office and you'd get whooped with your own paddle. Oh, for teachers, discipline can be a difficult concept to teach because the parents haven't done it. My God. Headline, we're taught to revere school teachers, so why are they paid so little? Because most teachers don't deserve to be revered today. I'm sorry. That's my personal opinion. Okay, so those are headlines, and each one of those articles can be read. You go to metropolis.cafe right now to get an update on what's going on with the school districts. So, a day or so later, on December the 20th, about a week later, 7 days later, I went back in and added more headlines under the heading, yes, get them out now. Public school report. Craziness continues in our public schools as we go into Christmas. Fresh reports of critical race theory, LGBT indoctrination, and even porn madness. Oh, a lot of this stuff's going on up in New Hampshire. A teachers' union is in litigation to block a state law that bars the teaching of CRT. And, you know, with a picture of Joseph Stalin, what's critical race theory? It's Marxism for slow learners, folks. Headline, student populations are plummeting, and it's not just because of COVID. Oh, is that right? So the next crisis of our public schools will be their depopulation. Enrollments have begun dropping across the country, in some places rapidly. It's going to be hard to comprehend for those of us who recall schools adding temporary classrooms to absorb the millenniums, or the millennials. Of course, many private schools are seeing record numbers of applications after the public schools in Democrat-run states and municipalities show disregard or disdain for children by locking them out of their buildings, quarantining them because one child coughed, forcing even four-year-olds to wear masks. Guess what's seeing a massive popularity? Homeschooling. Yeah. Headline, School District of Philadelphia allowing students to identify as non-binary without parental consent. Oh, that's a story unto itself. Headline, Stop the Woke. DeSantis introduces a bill banning CRT in schools and corporate-sanctioned racism in private businesses. That's the Florida governor. Seems to be the one guy that may seem to be doing it right. Another headline, mom says her son was vaccinated in exchange for pizza at a South L.A. school without her consent. Maribel Duarte says her 13-year-old son, a student at the Barack Obama Global Prep Academy in South L.A., brought home a vaccine card after having accepted the vaccine at school. The boy said yes when somebody offered it in exchange for pizza. The lady gave him the shot and signed the paper and told my son, please don't say anything. I don't want to get in trouble. Headline, letter comparing parent protest to domestic terrorism has triggered funding fallout. All of this under the headline, yes, get them out now. And so we pick up where we left off. America, the illiterate. You know, there's over 42 million American adults, 20% of whom hold high school diplomas. who cannot read. And then there's the 50 million who read at a fourth or fifth grade level. And nearly a third of the nation's population is illiterate or barely literate. And their numbers are growing by an estimated 2 million a year. Does that have anything to do with illegal invasion?
I don't know.
But even those who are supposedly literate retreat in huge numbers into this image-based existence. A third of high school graduates, along with 42% of college graduates, never read a book after they finish school. 80% of the families in this country last year did not buy a book. The illiterate rarely vote. And when they do, they vote to do so. They do vote. They do so without the ability to make decisions based on textual information. It's television only. Or cell phones, or computers, whatever. American political campaigns, which have learned to speak in the comforting epistemology of images, eschew real ideas and policy for cheap slogans and reassuring personal narratives. Political propaganda now masquerades as ideology, or as I like to call it, idiotology. Political campaigns have become, shall we say, an experience, because they do not require cognitive or self-critical skills. They are designed to ignite pseudo-religious feelings of euphoria, empowerment, and collective salvation. Campaigns which succeed are carefully constructed psychological instruments that manipulate fickle public moods, emotions, impulses, many of which are quite subliminal. They create a public ecstasy that annuls individuality and fosters a state of mindlessness. They thrust us into an eternal present. They cater to a nation that now lives in a state of permanent amnesia. Amnesia. That's the inability to remember, isn't it? It is style and story. There's no content. There's no history and no reality anymore. Those are the things, the nonsense that inform our politics and our lives. Because we now prefer happy illusions. And it works because so much of the American electorate, including those who should know better, blindly cast ballots for slogans, smiles, the cheerful family tableau, narratives, the perceived sincerity and the attractiveness of candidates. Oh, no, my friends, we confuse how we feel with knowledge. And so the illiterate, the semi-literate, once the campaigns are over, they remain powerless. They still cannot protect their children from dysfunctional public schools. They still cannot understand predatory loan deals, the intricacies of mortgage papers, credit card agreements, equity lines of credit that drive them into foreclosures and bankruptcies. Oh, no, they still struggle with the most basic chores of daily life, from reading instructions on medicine bottles to filling out bank forms or car loan documents and unemployment benefit and insurance papers. And so they watch helplessly and without comprehension as hundreds of thousands of jobs are shed. They are hostages to brands. But you see, brands come with images and slogans. Images and slogans are, well, frankly, all they understand. Many eat at fast food restaurants, not only because it's cheap, not anymore, but because they can order from pictures rather than menus. And those who serve them, also semi-literate or illiterate, punch in orders on cash registers whose keys are marked with symbols and pictures. Oh, my friends, this is our brave new world, and by God, don't pay them in cash, because they'll take forever to count out your change. They're too stupid. You see, political leaders in our post-literate society, they no longer need to be competent, sincere, honest, They only need to appear to have these qualities. Most of all, they need a story, a narrative, a line of BS. You see, the reality of the narrative, well, that's irrelevant. It can be completely at odds with the facts. And the ignorant out there couldn't tell you which is true and which is false. The consistency, the emotional appeal of the story, that's what's paramount. Because the most essential skill in political theater in the consumer culture is artifice. Those who are best at artifice succeed. Those who have not mastered the art of artifice fail. In an age of images and entertainment, in an age of instant emotional gratification, we do not seek nor want honesty. We ask to be indulged, entertained by cliches, stereotypes, mythic narratives that tell us that we can be whomever we want to be, that we live in the greatest country on earth, that we are endowed with superior moral and physical qualities, and that our glorious future is preordained, either because our attributes as Americans or because we're blessed by God or both. The question is, which God? You see, the ability to magnify these simple and childish lies, to repeat them and have surrogates repeat them in endless loops of news cycles, gives all these lies the aura of an uncontested truth. We're repeatedly fed words or phrases like, yes, we can, Maverick, change, pro-life, hope, war on terror. Oh, man, it feels good not to think. All we have to do is visualize what we want, believe in ourselves, summon those hidden inner resources, whether divine or national, that make the world conform to our desires. Reality is never an impediment to our advancement. The Princeton Review has analyzed the transcripts of the Gore-Bush debates, the Clinton-Bush-Perot debates of 1992, the Kennedy-Nixon debates of 1960, and the Lincoln-Douglas debates of 1858. And it reviewed these transcripts using a standard vocabulary test that indicates the minimum educational standard needed for a reader to grasp the text. During the 2000 debates, George W. Bush spoke at a sixth grade level, 6.7. Al Gore spoke at a seventh grade level at 7.6. In the 1992 debates, Bill Clinton spoke at a seventh grade at 7.6. George H.W. Bush spoke at a sixth grade level, 6.8, as did H. Ross Perot at 6.3. Now, in the debates between John F. Kennedy and Richard Nixon, the candidates spoke in language used by 10th graders. But in the debates of Abe Lincoln and Stephen Douglas, the scores were respectively 11.2 and 12.0. It's simple. In short, today's political rhetoric, or BS, is designed to be comprehensible to a 10-year-old child or an adult with a sixth-grade reading level. It is fitted to this level of comprehension because most Americans speak and think and are entertained at this level, and that's why serious film and theater and other serious artistic expression, as well as newspapers and books, are being pushed to the margins of American society. Voltaire was the most famous man of the 18th century. Today, the most famous person is Mickey Mouse. In our post-literate world, because ideas are inaccessible, there is a need for constant stimulus. News, political debate, theater, art, and books are judged not on the power of their ideas, but on their ability to entertain. Cultural products that force us to examine ourselves and our society are condemned as elitist and impenetrable. Hannah Arendt once warned that the marketization of culture leads to its degradation, and that this marketization creates a new celebrity class of intellectuals who, although well-read and informed themselves, see their role in society as persuading the masses that Hamlet can be as entertaining as The Lion King and perhaps as educational. Culture, she wrote, is being destroyed in order to yield entertainment. There are many great authors of the past who've survived centuries of oblivion and neglect, aren't rights. But it's still an open question whether they will be able to survive an entertaining version of what they have to say. The change from a print-based to an image-based society has transformed our nation, my friends. Huge segments of our population, especially those who live in the embrace of the Christian right and the consumer culture, are completely unmoored from reality. They lack the capacity to search for truth and cope rationally with our mounting social and economic ills. They seek clarity, entertainment, and order. They're willing to use force to impose this clarity upon others, especially those who do not speak as they speak and think as they think, if they can think at all. All these traditional tools of democracies, including dispassionate scientific and historical truth and facts and news and rational debate, well, frankly, they're nothing more than useless instruments in a world that lacks the capacity to use them. And so as we descend into a devastating economic crisis, one that Barack Obama cannot halt, there will be tens of millions of Americans who will be ruthlessly thrust aside. And as their houses are foreclosed, as their jobs are lost, as they are forced to declare bankruptcy and watch their communities collapse, they will retreat even further into irrational fantasy. I can't see my keyboard. I'm trying to send a note. There we go. What is all this going to do? Well, it's all going to be led toward glittering, self-destructive illusions by our modern Pied Pipers, our corporate advertisers, our charlatan preachers, our television news celebrities. What about our self-help gurus, our entertainment industry, our political demagogues, all who will offer increasingly absurd forms of escapism? You see, my friends, the core values of our open society, the ability to think for oneself, to draw independent conclusions, to express dissent when judgment and common sense indicate something is dreadfully wrong, to be self-critical, to challenge authority, to understand historical facts, to separate truth from lies, to advocate for change and to acknowledge that there are other views, different ways of being that are morally and socially acceptable. They're all dying. Oh, yes. Our former resident, Barack Hussein Obama, used hundreds of millions of dollars in campaign funds to appeal to and manipulate this illiteracy and irrationalism to his advantage. But those forces would prove to be his most deadly nemesis once they collide with the awful reality that awaits us. Commentary by Chris Hedges. Why so many references to Barack Obama? It is interesting. This piece was written September the 1st, 2016. I had that put aside on one of my computers and very rarely ever used that computer, and I came across it last night. America the illiterate. And you can't continue by saying, or so it used to be. No. Illiteracy, my friends, is a life sentence. And boy, we've signed up for it, hook, line, and stinking sinker. God. Last night, after I finished this 3 o'clock program, maybe some time before that, I'd come across this particular piece I just shared with you. And it fascinated me because it is even more appropriate today than it was when it was written 5 years ago. And I also, I think on drkelly.info posted something last night that I had picked up on Facebook. Yes. It's a picture of 5G towers being mounted, I would say, possibly right outside of a public school or maybe just homes. The quotation that was posted underneath the picture says a powerful radiation-emitting 5G antenna being installed outside of a residential home in Venice Beach, California. And the resident pleaded with Verizon to move the tower somewhere less intrusive. Verizon ignored her. This stuff fries our brain, people. It rattles our brains. It's simply appalling to me. Now, drkelly.info is one of the sites that has suffered the most with my, in some cases, inabilities to be posting on a daily basis. You know, I'm kind of back to late hours again, but not in the manner that I would like to have it. But little by little, we're getting there. Got major problems with my master computer. I have to take it in and have it overhauled, and I think that I'm going to lose some things. I've already lost some things. I've lost massive files. Those of you who've been ardent purchasers of gold and silver, other precious metals and stuff from Kettle Marine, there's a 99% chance that your records are completely lost. Now, that's to your advantage, okay? That means there's no record of it, which is fine because I've been very lax. I typically try to delete files after 2 years. But now, for some reason, most of my clientele's folders have disappeared. That is real spooky. So if you decide to call and place another order, I'm going to need your name and address and email and everything all over again because it's, in most cases, it's gone. Yeah, even people who came to me and ordered 2 weeks ago, your information is gone. The only up-to-date order I've got is for a gentleman who had come back and ordered six more of the British half-sovereigns. And then he sent me a check that was written in two different ways, and so the bank wouldn't deposit it, of course. And he sent me a note last night, sincere apologies. My wife and I have had these memory discussions and blah, 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 but the check went out yesterday. Guess what? Your stuff shipped out today. Oh, my goodness gracious. In doing a little bit of research, something bothered me last night, and I decided to go do a little bit of looking. I've got a man who has been a very long-time contributor to the family of websites, Kettle Marine Productions. And I remember that he and I had had an email back and forth last early summer. And his writings were slowing up. He was not publishing as much as he should. There was something wrong. And I decided to go to his sites last night, two different places that he published, the Copperhead Chronicle and Revised History. And realized that all of his writing ceased by mid-July of this year. And then I started doing some further digging and found that he passed away the 28th day of July of this year. And I was not surprised, but I was horribly, horribly saddened. Al Benson Jr., an amazing human being, a man who became an extremely good friend. And I keep watching all these people gone. They're dying. What in the hell is going on? And I realize I'm probably not that far away from it myself. In truth and reality. Maybe it's we the fighters. But I did have some good news last week. Over the weekend, I got a real strange email. I recognized the email address, but I was highly suspicious. And he was checking in with me, and I said, if you are who you claim to be, tell us how we met. And he answered, a friend of mine who I thought had died 2 years ago has lived. His wife, who he met online, who I never cared for or never trusted. Louis Turner. Louis had major health issues, liver issues. And she did her utmost to poison him. And he wound up in a hospice for quite some time. She stole all his computers, destroyed all his records. Fortunately, his sister bailed him out. He's now living in Texas. And his sister had my email address because she and I had stayed in touch for a number of years. And so what I'm about to share with you was with great sadness that I had to post it today. With that knowledge that the author, a longtime contributor to the family of these websites, had passed away to the great beyond. God, L. Benson Jr., you're going to be so greatly missed by so many. But what drew me to it was the commentary itself. It's something that he understood and wrote about intensely for years and years and years. It's entitled Schools or Indoctrination Centers. The answer should be obvious. I would think so, wouldn't you? Al began by saying, as time goes on, we are learning more and more about how public schools are pushing this Marxist-oriented critical race theory garbage. And Al called it garbage because he says that's what it is. And the agenda for this is to cause hate and division between the races so they will never be able to come together and realize who their real enemies are and what those enemies are doing to all races. It's interesting. That, to me, would go back to the days of Martin Luther King Jr. How would he stand up for this critical race theory garbage today? Al continues by saying the fact that those enemies are able to use the public schools in this country to promote their leftist propaganda should show people who really controls the public schools in this country. He says, and I'm not going to advocate that we get in there and fight to take our public schools back. That's been tried, and it's an exercise in futility. The public schools, Al says, were never, and I mean never, ours to begin with. They have always belonged to the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ right from day one. Oh, I know lots of you don't want to hear that. Your dear old Aunt Bessie taught in them for years, and she never found any problem with them. Al says he's not attacking Aunt Bessie's sincerity, but I do question her discernment and the discernment of those Christians who think like she does. And believe me, I've known lots of them, he said. And when he and his wife decided to homeschool their children many, many years ago, they got more opposition from the Christians than we did from the world. The Christians wanted us to put our kids in the local public school, and they were quite disappointed when Al and his wife refused to do that. So their discernment in this critical area has been tampered with, and they unknowingly came down to the side of the Lord's enemies. And after spending 2 years in Kanawha County, West Virginia, during the textbook protests there in the mid-1970s, Al became convinced that the public school system does not exist to educate. It exists to indoctrinate our children in leftist values. Because I've never had cause to change my mind on this issue. In fact, what I see going on in public schools today more and more bears out my original contentions. Hell said that he, at the time of this writing, had read an article by Julian Conradson, which stated in part that investigative journalist and critical race theory opponent Chris Rufo had identified over 30 school districts across 15 different states that are teaching the radical anti-whiteness book, Not My Idea, by Anastasis Higginbotham. And the book teaches children to primarily identify by their skin color while it paints white children as evil, saying that whiteness is a bad deal. It always was. And another page says, racism is a white person's problem, and we are all caught up in it. My friends, this is all an absolute crock. To insert something here, as many of you know, I've been doing a lot of music programs on Fridays. And I received an email from a gentleman a week or so ago who thanked me for them. But he noted, in fact, that the majority of these singers that I was sharing and musicians, etc., happened to be people of color. It's not that he took offense to it, but he asked why I didn't consider doing more white or Caucasian type musicians, people like Andy Williams, Frank Sinatra. And my comment to him was, I've got a two-part series coming up on the music of Frank Sinatra, along with some narration by myself. And we may begin that this Friday night and run part two next week. But why is it people always have to think in terms of pigmentation? Whatever racism exists in this world is a human problem, not just a white problem. And to teach kids this stuff is to lie to them. And it does them grave injustice. Christopher Rufo noted that this book was meant for youngsters as young as kindergarten, and it traffics in the nauseous principles of race essentialism and collective guilt and anti-whiteness. And Rufo has noted that critical race theory is driving public education and must be stopped. But it won't be stopped. And the only solution to not having your kids poisoned by it is to get them out of the public schools. Some are learning the lesson and are doing it, but not enough. Good example is, well, California. Another article that Al read on July the 9th noted that the most recent homeschool figures are more than twice as high as they had been during the 2018-2019 school year, and when 14,548 PSAs, that's private school affidavits, were filed. There were 22 PSAs filed during the 2019-2020 school year. What? The largest increase in homeschoolers was especially notable among minority groups, including Black and Hispanic learners. In African American households, the proportion of homeschooling quintupled from 3% in the spring of 2020 to 16.1% in the fall of 2020. Hallelujah! But by the same token, the percentage of Hispanic families that opted for homeschooling rose from 6.2% to 12.1%. And that's just one lousy state. A state not especially friendly to homeschooling, I might add. But all this tells us something. More minority folks are getting the message that the public school system ain't really their friend. And that's important. Now, if only the honkies who are continually slandered by that system would begin to get that same message. But one can only hope the Lord will begin to open their eyes, if they still have eyes to see. July 10th, 2021. Al Benson, Jr. You are going to be sorely missed, Brother Al. And one of the ways I can ensure that people don't forget you, don't shut out the importance of your words and your writing, is I have access to much of your writing. I have published a lot of your work on the education site. I don't think I've done anything on Dr. Kelly's site, but we've certainly published a good amount of your work on Federal Observer. So, if you want to gain a distinct understanding of Al Benson Jr. and who he was, who he is still, dead or alive, matters not. The first thing I'd suggest you do is go to metropolis.cafe, and in the search engine, just type in the name Benson, and you'll begin to see a whole list of the things that he's committed. And the things that we expanded on here. You can do the same thing at Federal Observer. Rarely will you find the same articles published, because the things he writes for Metropolis were distinctly of an education base. Then we deal in politics and evil on the other side. How unbelievably frustrating. I've lost so many. Alan Karuba, John Slagle. John Slagle, a man who, Border Patrol agent for many years. And interestingly enough, knew and or had trained many of very well-known that I just found. Oh, God, no. Many well-known agents who ultimately were murdered, passed away, etc. Right this moment, I can't think of names. J.D. Longstreet, another marvelous contributor. That was not his real name. No. But that's the name he wrote under. So absolutely fascinating. So much so. Lord knows why I survive and they have not. Kind of spooks me a little bit. Yeah. Start thinking about this kind of stuff and it's like really spooky, man. Why am I still here? Why am I still carrying on? They're gone. I'm not. I don't know. Don't know the answers. I can't think it through. I can't question it all. I can't wonder why. I mean, I can wonder. I didn't make the call. He did. Pay attention to what we do on metropolis.cafe. One of the things that I have done to that website, I never intended to do. But with COVID and everything that's happened, what's happened to the education system in life, I've found myself having to publish more and more news-related articles instead of the whole purpose that I developed that site to begin with. And its whole purpose was to teach, to educate, dig down deep into areas where the public school system would not dig. Too much of the stuff that we've published has become more news-related. And that's what I did not want. I received an email from a woman recently who was absolutely shocked that and ecstatic that I actually was publishing entire books on that website. Yeah. We've published entire books on Metropolis. It, to me, it's neat. It's under the heading Le Metropolis Library. And it became fascinating to me because I had PDFs for a wide range of these books. Henry David Thoreau's Duty of Civil Disobedience. The Great Question, a piece that was written in the New York Times in March of 1861. A book called The Defense of Virginia and Through Her of the South, dated July 1867. Another piece called The Unpoisoning of the U.S. Educational System, The Blaine Amendment Reconsidered. A book that I came across some years ago that I chose to write or to publish under Kettle Marine Publications called The South Was Right, written by S.A. Steele in June of 1914. An amazing little book. I still have some copies for sale because I like having the real books. I don't like everything on the internet. But the fact of the matter is that if you want to read that, you go to metropolis.cafe, scroll down the right-hand side, you see the picture of the library, and click on it. J.D. Longo's book, Knight's Crossing, and Remembering a Friend. Another book entitled All Children Left Behind. Another book by Murray Rothbard, History of Money and Banking in the United States, the Colonial Era to World War II. Another book written by my friend Lynn Finney, January of 2016, called Systems Education Defined. I came across a folder the other day where I've got a dozen more books in PDF format that I will be publishing. I want to return to that. I want to go back to continue to expand on words and deeds, which is real history, not rewritten bullshit history. It's fascinating when I get emails or phone calls from people who were ecstatic with the information they found on this site. But I unfortunately have gotten away from it with too much of this headline stuff. And as it relates to the education system, maybe what I need to do is go back to the Village of the Damned category on Federal Observer and begin publishing that stuff over there. Most of the people that come here know it's time to get their kids out of the school, and that's what they're doing. There's a piece we published just a few weeks ago called How Government Seized Control of Money. I think we shared that on the air as a three-part series called School Board Tyranny. Another historical piece, kind of interesting. America planning a war with Mexico called War Plan Green. What was behind all this? It's a brief story that took place under William Howard Taft in the early 1900s. A marvelous piece by Benjamin Franklin called Proposals Relating to the Education of Youth in Pennsylvania. What do you see how the word Pennsylvania is spelled? Interesting piece about Bessie Ross's husband's diary turning up in a garage. And how about this story? Kids at school asked to give details of their sex lives? And here's more headlines. White males are bailing in college. Grading is racist. White language supremacy. That according to an Arizona State professor. I think this headline stuff needs to go elsewhere. I need to seriously concentrate removing some of this. So here's a good article. What role do parents play in education? That belongs here. Terry McAuliffe, I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. This is all up to us as parents, as grandparents. As a grandparent, we've had two of our two eldest grandchildren be with us, that's cool, for over half their lives. Never ends, folks. We'll be back on Thursday live. Tune in for part two of the special X-ray program tomorrow. See you Thursday. Have a good evening.
His back is brawny, but his brain is weak. He's just plain stupid with a stubborn streak. And by the way, if you hate to go to school,
you may grow up to be a mule.
Would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar.
And be better off than you are.
Or would you rather be a pig? A pig is an animal with dirt on his face. His shoes are a terrible disgrace. He's got no manners when he eats his food. He's fat and lazy and extremely rude. But if you don't care a feather or a fig, you may grow up to be a pig.
Oh, would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are.
Or would you rather be a fish? A fish won't do anything but swim in a brook. He can't write his name or read a book. To fool all the people is his only thought. And though he's slippery, he still gets caught. But then if that sort of life is what you wish, you may grow up to be a fish.
And all the monkeys are in the loo. Every day you meet quite a few.
So you see, it's all up to you.
You can be better than you are. You could be swinging on a star.
Welcome to school. It's lots of fun.
Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.